And yeah, it's like working with one hand.
It's terrible. I can't get anything done in a timely manner.
Oh man, there's the guy. Oh, I don't think he's talking to us. Okay. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I need to get back into it. I've
Sorry,
been
I'm
taking a
here.
little
I'm
break
here.
from it because I've just been detoured. Gotcha. And
I'm
if you're ready or not, bro.
ready. I got my Outer Banks tank top on. Makes it more aerodynamic when I talk.
740 Prime League Podcast. All in autumn leaves, it's gridiron time. As they face off in the league, top hot New Guinea prime. When it comes to draft selection, be methodical and wise. Draft that backer receiver who can cross the goal line. Gotta draft the clutch kicker, the defense that grinds. Sacks and QB forces turnovers like this ball mine. Who gon' win it all? I'm not quite sure, don't know. Is it in your girl's guts? A team Cicito, team Aaron's, we trust a Tama Jammer, bro. And we have Grateful Zed squaring off with Let It Rain. Member Berries versus Clam Wallin, who gon' feel the pain? Spider-Man versus Waddle Rockets, who gon' do they thing? Plus that primetime showdown that completes this race. Fantasy football team versus team in McTeam face.
Primetime.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, the day has arrived. Wednesday, August 30th, 7:53 p.m. Prime League Podcast going live at 8:08. And if you're not familiar, Live at 8:08 is an online radio station. You can get your favorite podcasts, local events, local parties. It's all going on live at 8:08. And of course, live Wednesday nights at 7:30, the Prime League Podcast. This is episode four, but this is the first public episode that you right now are listening to. So go ahead and give yourself a nice pat on the back. My name is Tim O'Halleck, owner of the Fantasy Football League. Joining us here are the cohorts, the co-hosts, the commish of the Pow Pow New Guinea Prime League, Shane McClain, as well as the co-commish, Jason Ryan, each team owners as well, of course, as all of you already know. Gentlemen, I'm a little nervous. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little nervous right now.
Tingly, got some butterflies in my stomach. You know, the first three episodes, there was no pressure. It was just us. Now we're out for the world to hear us.
Yeah, it's hitting a little different right now.
Yeah.
Welcome in, everybody.
Listen, let's get into this first before we start into today's show. Where the podcast came about, we had already talked about this in previous episodes, but since it's the first public episode, let's get back into it. The idea started a few years back. Humpy, actually, I think he sent me a message, gave me a call or something, and said, "Yo, you need to do a podcast for the fantasy league." Joking around, and I don't know. I've been thinking about it ever since. I've been messaging you guys about it here and there, and then late spring, early summer, we kind of all just started talking about it, getting real serious about it, and little by little, job by job, accomplishments all the way through until today, and here we are, the first public episode of the Prime League Podcast. Of course, you can get in touch with the show, the Prime League Podcast. Give us a call at 740-346-5607. That's when we're live. If you're listening back on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, iHeartMedia, wherever you're listening to, don't give us a call then. If you're listening live on Live at 8:08 right now, go ahead and give us a call. Chime in with the show. Give us some advice, maybe some hair options or hair growing options for the commissioner over there. He's wearing a hat today, so it's not as distracting as it has been. There's been a big bright spot on the top of his head this whole time, all the episodes that we've recorded up to today. So, but yeah, we are live on live at 8:08 Wednesday nights at 7:30. You can download each episode Thursday afternoon at 12 o'clock, wherever you get your podcast, just search Prime League Podcast. And yeah, excited to bring this this whole adventure to you. And yeah, if you listen live, interact with the show. We'll have guests throughout the process. Brent Sobleski from the Bleacher Report will be joining us here in a couple episodes. The guy you heard at the beginning,
740.
That's Justin Biggs. He'll be joining us in an episode or two as well. But it's just going to be us riding this episode out. So it's great to be here, gentlemen. What are you drinking on? I got a Heineken over here. What are you guys drinking on tonight?
Going with the kind of big wave again. It's classic. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Shane?
I got the Voodoo Ranger IPA.
Okay. I love the IPA.
7%. I didn't want to go too high. I wanted to keep it together for everybody.
Didn't want to go too high. 7% is pretty high.
Okay, so let's get back to what the podcast is actually going to do, because we didn't get into that yet. We just kind of told you where the origins of the podcast, but what we're going to do is we're going to bring you information about the Papua New Guinea Prime League. Of course, the commish will be here every episode, as well as the co-commish, and I'm just the owner of the fantasy football team that will be taking advice or maybe trying to persuade some of you certain ways, especially when it comes to the draft. Those who pick in front of me, make sure to listen to everything I say. I know all. And the fantasy football draft actually coming up here this Sunday. Shane, you want to tell us about that before we get into everything?
Absolutely. It starts at 6:15. We're going to have two rounds before anybody else goes, where my brother is going to fill out the rest of his roster. After keepers were set this weekend, he kept four. He has two spots left. And then things are really going to kick off with, I believe it's Bryce is the first pick.
Mm-hmm. Bryce will have the first pick. He has his, if I remember correctly, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end on his roster. So is he looking for another position player, a flex player that could maybe play a role here or there? Or is he looking for a starting quarterback? A lot of questions to answer that Bryce will make sure he answers round pick or round seven, first pick of the, whenever we all start our stuff. But of course, your brother, no running backs on his team. So I think that we know where he's going to go there.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Yeah. I almost forgot before we get into everything, one of the highlights of the show comes up. It's usually segment five. It's called Trash the Commish. It's sponsored by Greg's Eggs. And Jason, you want to tell us a little bit about the sponsorship with Greg's Eggs?
Yeah, Greg's Eggs is created by my stepson, Jackson. He puts out all kinds of gaming content, food content. It's a great channel. Get on YouTube, search up Greg's Eggs. You'll find a lot of good content there. Go ahead and subscribe. The more subscribers he gets, the happier he is. So subscribe up.
All right. Of course, Greg's Eggs, proud sponsor of the Trash the Commish segment. Search for the Greg's Eggs YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button for the latest episodes of Greg's Eggs. Trash the Commish coming up later on in the show. We'll give our final thoughts before the start of the season. Each one of us will break down the first round of what we predict will be the first round of the 2023 Papua New Guinea League draft. Our mock drafts coming up later on. What receivers we're feeling this week. Each one of us will break down the top six performers or the top five performers. We'll give our underdog pick as well. But first,
Billy, did you do your homework?
Hell no, bitch. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
September 3rd.
Bitch.
Okay, I'm not really sure how that one came about, but Preptember 3rd is the name of the segment. Okay, Shane.
Really sorry. Went for it with that intro. Really yeah. Went for it.
Yeah, Tim.
I love
swinging
it.
Swinging for the fences. I like it. All right. We are mere 4 days away from the Prime League draft of 2023. I know we're all equally hyped, but let's talk about some of the things each of us do to prepare for said draft. Any particular rituals, research, resources you gentlemen tend to in the weeks leading up to our yearly draft? Jason, you want to take it away?
Yeah, so, I do a lot of prep starting at the end of July, beginning of August, starting to get ready, refresh my memory on the draft choices. It's been a long time since any of us really focused on football since the draft and then free agency before then. So it's really just beginning with a refresher where everyone moved to in free agency, who drafted who, what we're looking like, and just kind of going from there. As we go through the preseason, I try to watch as many games as I can. Usually I have a preseason game or two playing in the background while I'm working just to kind of see get as much information as I can from some of these games. It's easy to do while I'm working. I don't have to focus on the game, but I can keep up on some of the highlights. One of the rituals I do is I like to burn some incense and then burn all pictures of all of the other league owners to kind of put a curse on them for the year. I didn't get to do it last year, but I did the year before, 2021, and guess who won that year?
Man.
So just to let you guys know that there's going to be some voodoo happening to all of you guys probably Saturday night. I like to do it as close to the draft as I can. So if you feel a little pain Saturday night, you're welcome. But really, the big thing this year is I'm just excited to have feet on the ground for the draft starting this year. Last year when the draft started, I was a couple miles up in the air on my way to San Diego, so I didn't have a lot of prep time. But this year is going to be different, so everybody watch out.
I really just kind of usually wing it. I have every year, really, except for this year, though. Obviously, doing this podcast, this is our fourth episode, so I've done a lot more research at this point during this preseason than I have in the past. And actually, I made an effort to watch a couple games early in week one, and that's kind of faded away. I'm sure the same thing with everybody. I just can't get into preseason. But as soon as that game kicks off to next Thursday night, that's when things really start happening. You get into it a lot, and then Sunday, there's something about Sunday football, especially week one. You get back into it. Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, all of them on Fox Sports, the Fox NFL pregame shows, that's my go-to. But I really do feel a lot more informed coming into this year. In the past, I'd go in and be like, who the hell is this guy? But he's one of the, a top five receiver that I just, because I haven't done any research, I don't know who he is. But I do feel a little bit more confident coming into this year.
Okay. I can, looking over at the trophy, I can see that leading up to this year, you weren't doing much preparing or research, but man, we're not going to go too deep into that.
Wow, low blow from the commish.
Piece of white trash.
I've of course got my my go-to news and update outlets, mostly other podcasts, two of my favorite being the Fantasy Footballers and FFT from CBS. I do mainline apps like Sleeper and ESPN for news and updates, injury updates, things like that, trades, all that fun stuff. In terms of routines or rituals, I usually run a couple mock drafts leading up to to our draft, usually from different positions. What I'm doing in those is I'm just trying to get a taste for what other the average player is looking for at each position. I'm trying to get what their average draft position would be, as opposed to just looking at the stats on each website, whether it be ESPN or Sleeper. That way I get a better idea of, players that I'm interested in. Maybe I'm going to reach for those players, maybe I'm not.
That's one thing also, Shane, you mentioned you strategize what other teams are going to pick. It's real difficult for you. You have 13, 14 picks before you even get to go. So it's difficult to kind of gauge who's going to be left at that point. You're going to have a rough idea. But I found myself doing that this year too. Once the draft order was released this past Sunday, boom, hopped right on, looked at we even talked about it a little bit on the phone earlier this week too.
Yeah, we jumped into that a little bit. In my mind, what other players are doing in our league is 90% of the game. Mm-hmm. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about who you're looking out for. It's all reactive and proactive. So it's a lot of predictions, and a lot of that goes wrong most of the time. But the more you have out there, the more you're going to hit. So that's I'm always trying to stay on top of what everybody else is doing.
Let me ask you something. You feeling it?
If you feel it,
if you're feeling it most, I know you're feeling it.
We are 1 week and 1 day away from the season opener between the Lions and Chiefs next Thursday night. Who are the wide receivers that you are, or that are feeling it, I should say? We'll do a top five wide receiver for week one, and then we'll also do our sleeper pick at wide receiver for week one. Shane, go ahead.
Yeah, so starting it off, number one, I'm going with Tyreek Hill. Miami is playing the Chargers. I think it's going to be competitive, which means I think that there's going to be a good chance that both him and Waddle will blast off this week. Number two, maybe a surprise here, but I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson. They play Buffalo, so I'm looking for a high score. They might need to put up some points to keep it tight, and I think Wilson has potential to blow up week one, especially with Aaron Rodgers behind the wheel, fresh off the break, and a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Number three, going with A.J. Brown. Phillies in New England, they got a target on their backs after last season, so everybody's going to be gunning for them. I think Hurts is going to be hard-pressed to just sit back there and rush. I think he's going to be looking for a lot more throws with Belichick trying to keep him in check, so to speak, on the ground. Number four, Ja'Marr Chase. I think Burrow's back in form, and I think he's just going to keep doing what he's doing, so I'm putting him there. And then fifth might be a little bit of a surprise, but it's Justin Jefferson. And I only have him that low because they're playing Tampa, and I don't think that they're going to have to put up too many points to keep Tampa at bay, if you will. Number six, wide receiver sleeper, and this might be a surprise as well. I'm going to go with Thielen. No, he's getting old, but Bryce Young has shown all preseason long he wants to rely on Thielen. I see no reason why that stops this week. I wouldn't be surprised if for the first few weeks of the season, at least, we see a stat line somewhat reminiscent of his early Viking heydays.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I like all your picks. I really like your sleeper as well. I do think Thielen is going to be rejuvenated down in Carolina. You know, up in Minnesota, he had some of his targets taken away. One, due to Jefferson being up there, who's an absolute freak. And second, he is getting older. But I think this is going to be good for Thielen. But yeah, so first on my list, I have Justin Jefferson. I agree with you. He's the only one on my list that you had also mentioned. They're going against Tampa. Tampa's obviously going to have a down year. You know, Tom Brady leaving, a lot of people vacating. Tampa probably back in the dumpster. We'll see. But he's Justin Jefferson. He's a freak. I think he just comes out and shows off. Number two, I think it's going to be DeAndre Hopkins. You know, his first game in a new uniform. He's got a solid running game behind him now with Derrick Henry. I really think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I can't remember who Tennessee plays now off the top of my head, but I do know.
I got you, Jay. I'll look.
Forgot to write that one down.
Tennessee plays the Saints at Nollins.
Yeah, that's right. So the Saints, I think the Saints also are going to come out, you know, slinging. They got Derek Carr, or as Tim likes to call him, David Carr, back in there. So I think that's going to be a pass fest, honestly, especially since New Orleans doesn't have Kamara to rely on. I think it's going to get out of control in the scoring range quickly. Number three, I actually have Calvin Ridley coming back after a year suspension on a new team. He's got Trevor Lawrence, third year in the league. I think Calvin Ridley comes back with something to prove. You know, he made a mistake with the gambling thing. They're going up against the Colts, who have a slew of problems right now. There's just nobody super impressive on the Colts defense that makes me think they're going to stop Calvin Ridley. And number four, I got Davante Adams of the Raiders. They're going up against Denver. I do see that being a competitive game. It is an interdivision game. We'll see if Denver can do anything with Russell Wilson this year. That's to be determined, TBD. But I think, you know, he's Davante Adams. He's still got all kinds of skill. Jimmy Garoppolo is a decent enough quarterback that can still get him the ball. So I think he's going to have a great week. Number five, this could be wishful thinking on my part, but I got Cooper Kupp against the Seahawks. Cooper Kupp coming back from an injury-depleted season, as well as Matthew Stafford coming back from injury-depleted season. I think they're both coming out with something to prove. They're both older. I think they're coming back to show that they're still in good shape and they can still get it done. My sleeper, a little bit of a surprise, Juju Smith-Schuster versus the Eagles. I do think that game is also going to be high scoring and tightly contested. I think. All right, Tim.
Sorry,
thanks for that.
Sorry.
distracted me a bit. But yeah, Juju. Bill Belichick knows how to get the best out of his athletes and his players. So I think Juju is also with something to prove. He's on another 1-year contract. I think he now needs to prove it or lose it, in essence, to try to get a big contract. So that's who I'm going with my sleeper.
I love it, Jay. My list is very similar to yours, but I think my number one, maybe I'm going to work backwards, actually. I'm going to go with my number five, and I'm going to say CeeDee Lamb is going to be my top, as my number five wide receiver performer this week. Dak Prescott poised for a comeback year. It's all starting with his number one target, CeeDee Lamb. They're at the G-men week one, another suspect defense, as we were talking about earlier. Justin Jefferson, I think, is number four. What more can you say about J-Jeff? Vikes open up, as you guys mentioned already, at Tampa Bay, bottom of the tier defense. I expect Jefferson to be in the upper 20s into the 30s when it comes to fantasy points. Number three, Tyreek Hill. Dude is a freak. Make a mistake, and he'll be standing in the end zone on you. Obviously, he's dangerous every time he steps onto the football field. So Tyreek Hill, he's going to be my number three performer. I got A.J. Brown at number two. Fly, Eagles fly, and they fly by A.J. Brown. Definitely a top five receiver at the end of the season. It all starts this week, week one at the New England Patriots. And my top performing wide receiver this week, I think it's going to surprise you guys. I don't know. I can't remember if either of you have mentioned him. Stephon Diggs. I think there's a lot to prove with the way the last season ended. There was a lot going into the offseason. And in my opinion, the Jets are a little bit overhyped. And I feel like the Bills want to make a statement, not only with a win, but I feel like those two, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, they want to make a statement. Hey, it's something that happened last year. We've moved past it. Let's move past it. And if you remember last year, the Bills came out. They were the best team ever. They were, hands down, possibly the best team to ever step on a football field. They came out on absolute fire last year. So if they come out like that, Stephon Diggs, he's my number one performer. My sleeper pick, I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp. Everyone is curious how this Rams offense is going to look. They had one of, if not the worst, Super Bowl hangovers in NFL history. As Jay mentioned, he and Matthew Stafford both coming off injuries last year. No doubt that he is the best player on this team, and they'll need him to be the best in order to get back in that playoff mix. So my sleeper pick at wide receiver this week, Cooper Kupp, look for him to have a big game.
I like all those picks, except for Stephon Diggs. Now, I do think that Stephon Diggs will end up at the end of the year in a top five receiver position, and the Bills are my pick for the Super Bowl. But, and I also agree that the Jets are overrated. But there's one person on the Jets that does not seem overrated, and that's Sauce Gardner. And he is going to be riding Diggs all day. So, He's going to be riding him hard.
Riding Diggs hard. All day.
So I think that's he's going to have a rough game, I think, with Sauce Gardner.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I like all your picks, Tim, except for you don't apparently understand the definition of a sleeper if Cooper Kupp is your sleeper.
I think in this case he falls in the sleeper category because he is older. Him and Matthew Stafford both have injuries.
He's going in the top five in average draft position. There's nothing sleeping about him.
He had a pretty sleepy year. I know because he was on my team.
Yeah, it was trash last year, Shane.
Fair enough.
Look how many points he put up last year.
Sorry.
Trash.
But I just wanted to say about Stephon Diggs. I had a draft on Sunday and I passed him up for Chris Olave, and I'm starting to question that a little bit. Maybe I haven't given him the respect or attention he deserves this offseason. I think maybe he ends up being, like you guys said, a top five wide receiver by the end of the year. I don't know about this week, but
yeah, I think to the season in a whole, I think he's going to blow up. Like Tim said, him, Josh Allen, the Bills have a lot to prove, but Sauce Gardner is no joke. I think he's going to give him a lot of trouble week one.
Saucy. Take your pick.
All right. So the draft.
Wait a minute, Jay. Officially. Sorry. Hold on. I just realized we don't have a early dreamer segment this week, Shane. Thank you for that.
Oh.
Go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
My apologies.
Damn it.
I didn't even realize.
Damn it.
My early dreamer this week is that Shane will remember to put the early dreamers in next week.
I'll make sure I remember to forget, sir.
Sorry.
All right. Well, anyway, officially right now, the draft is 3 days, 22 hours, 16 minutes, and 41 seconds away. We are getting close. Now, as we've done in some of our previous episodes, we do a little testing and mocking. Last week, we mocked keepers, who we would choose to keep keepers if we were in the shoes of our other managers. This week, we're going to do a mock draft. We're going to do the first two picks for Zach, and then we're going to do the entire first round individually. So, Tim, who do you got?
Okay, yeah, I mentioned Zach doesn't have any running backs on his team. Pulling his team up right now, looking over. He's got Josh Allen at quarterback, very solid. Amon-Ra St. Brown from the Lions. TJ Hawkinson from the tight end from Minnesota, and also Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from the Jets. Very solid team right there. But again, missing the running backs. I'm going to go with any order right here. Bijan Robinson and Ramondre Stevenson. Pick him, Zach.
Oh.
Ramondre.
Oh, interesting.
Stevenson from New England. Take him, Zach.
Interesting.
Leave Jahmyr Gibbs.
Is there a little bit of want for him to pass up on somebody else on your side?
Leave Jahmyr Gibbs and leave. Holy crap, I just realized I left Miles Sanders off my list. So he's going somewhere. He's going to take one of the places right here. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to switch this up a little bit from my original list. Bijan Robinson, I'm going to give him Jahmyr Gibbs. So he's going with two young running backs coming in. David Montgomery, obviously, with the Lions as well. So that's going to make it a little bit tricky for Gibbs if he doesn't perform well. You got Montgomery right there. He's going to take a lot of the snaps. So, but I'm going with Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, first two picks by Zach. Bryce needs a quarterback. He's rolling with two running backs, three receivers, and a tight end. He needs a quarterback. Or in a PPR league that we're in, receptions matter big time, so maybe he could go after a receiving running back that's available right there and give him more options at flex and maybe take one of those mid-tier quarterbacks in his next pick, which will be 22 or 23 picks later. So that's a long way for Bryce to wait for another quarterback. Fantasy football team would be next. That's me. I'm going with running back, the best available, probably either going to be Bijan Robinson, which I don't think he'll be there. Ramondre Stevenson. I'm going with Miles Sanders. I think that's where he's going to fall on mine is number four. Wayne doesn't have a tight end, and George Kittle sitting right there. I don't know how Wayne could pass up Kittle, so I think he's taking Kittle at number five. Team Aaron's we trust, going wide receiver with Amari Cooper. The member berries. The next best available tight end, Kyle Pitts. Jay's without a tight end right now. Grateful Zed's coming back around. I think he's looking for a flex, and the best available flex at that point is going to be Calvin Ridley from Jacksonville. Team Sestito, we talked about this already, Shane. And Jay, I forgot we were in the group message talking about this. No running backs. Two quarterbacks and a defense kept by Jimmy this year. So he's going running back for sure. And I'm saying Isaiah.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
I'm going running back Isaiah Pacheco. Matt needs a running back. Alexander Mattison from Minnesota. I think Jeff goes wide receiver. DJ Moore from Chicago. Remy needs a quarterback. He may not take one first round. He may take one the next round, but I'm going to go with Tua for Remy. Let it rain. Mike needs a tight end. I'm going with Cole Kmet from Chicago. And that leaves Shane with Chris Godwin, wide receiver from Tampa Bay. Although I don't think Shane likes his chances, so I think he's going to pass up on him, maybe take the next available after that. But that's my top 14 right there.
I like it. Solid.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not wrong. I will never have a team with Chris Godwin on it. More than likely, at least.
Yep. He helped me out a little bit last year. A little bit.
Who was your quarterback pick for Bryce?
Fields.
Justin Fields? Fields. Okay. Yep. I like it. Okay.
I thought I said it. Maybe I didn't say it now that I think back to it. We'll have to check the tape.
I may have missed
this.
It, but I was just checking against mine, and ours are fairly similar, Tim, so that's why I was wondering. I'm going to start with Zach, you know, at 5 would essentially be 5-1. He's going to go with Bijan Mustard. And at 6-1, he's going to go with Jahmyr Gibbs. That's what I'm thinking he's going to do. Two running backs. Like you said, he doesn't have any running backs. That's going to be prime for him. Plus, I think he's looking ahead to a dynasty as well. Yeah. So you want to have those young guys, you know, especially with running backs. If you can get 3 good years out of them, that's key to get them in their first year.
Hell yeah.
Just as you said with Bryce, I'm going to go with Justin Fields as well. I think he's going to hop all over that. I couldn't pass that up in his position there. He's not going to last much longer than that. So I think he's going to take him at the 7-1. Tim, I had Miles Sanders actually for you, who I thought you were going to take at running back. Moving to 7-3 with Wayne. I actually had him taking Calvin Ridley. I know you said Ramondre Stevenson, but I think he's going to go after another wide receiver. So I think he's going to hop all over Ridley there. Vince at 7-4, I think he's going to go with Amari Cooper. I think he needs another wide receiver as well, and I think he's going to snag him up a number one on Cleveland. We'll see what happens there. Excuse me. Jason at 7-5, I was thinking you were going to go with one of the homers with George Pickens. So I had you listed there at G Pickens. I think he's going to have a breakout year, regardless of Pickett's overall status. I think they have a good connection, and what we've seen in the preseason is boding well for him. I think Zach's back on the clock at 7-6, and I think he's going to take Ramondre Stevenson because he's going to be after another running back to fill that backup slot, potentially a flex spot for him. Jimmy, as you said, has no running backs, needs him desperately. I think he's going to take Madison, who will probably be the best available at that point in time. After that, moving on to Matt at 7.8, David Montgomery. Clyde will still be available there, or Pacheco will still be available Clyde. There, but he got burned by Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the Chiefs, so I don't think he's going to be feeling another Chiefs running back and taking a shot on that. So I think he's going to take up Montgomery.
Okay. Okay, I like that assessment right there. That's pretty deep assessment with that one.
Yeah, just looking at and just the conversations I've had with him in the past and talking about that, I think he's good on KC running backs for quite a while. Moving on to Jeff at 7-9, I think he's going to take Mike Williams. He has a stack there because he has Herbert, so I think he's looking at what's available and what he needs. That's going to be best for him. Excuse me. I had Remy taken the same as you did at the 7-10 spot, Tua. He needs a quarterback pretty badly, and Tua is probably going to be the best available unless he decides to go with a rookie, which would really surprise me. I think he's going to stick with Tua. Moving on to Mike, I know he had Pitts in the past, but Pitts has a little bit more of an opportunity now, not much, but I think he's going to scoop him back up. I think he would have kept him to begin with had we had one more spot to keep or if we were in a dynasty. And then moving on to me, I'm going to be looking for another wide receiver, and that's going to be Michael Pittman Jr. if I have the draft fallout that way in front of me. I want a number one there. I know we have a rookie. We have Anthony Richardson, but I think if he's going to be going to anyone and what I've seen in the preseason, it's going to be a Pittman. Pierce hasn't been much of a threat this preseason. So
I like it. Solid picks. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we all have a common theme in what position most – people need to take and are going to take, especially with the first few. So with Zach, first two picks, you know, again, I think he takes the condiment tray, Bijan Mustard. How can you pass him up? He's still there. He's going to be a workhorse for Atlanta. Got to take him. And then I actually have him taking Miles Sanders at number two. So switch up. I know Jahmyr Gibbs is a little bit younger, but Miles Sanders is a little bit more proven. And the Detroit running backs are kind of like KC and New England running backs, in my opinion. They're hit or miss. It's hard to judge what they're going to do and how good they're going to be, how much production they're going to see. They seem to be on a rotating basis up there in Detroit a lot. So I'm going Miles Sanders. Bryce, I do think he needs a quarterback. But I know this may be a little unpopular. I don't think Justin Fields is worth it, in my opinion. Not that he's not a good quarterback. I don't think he has enough pieces around him yet to make any impact in a fantasy league. Obviously, he has his legs be under him, and he can run. I do think teams are more aware of that now, this year, than they will be. And he just doesn't have the receivers around him that I think he's going to do damage fantasy points wise. So I have Bryce taking Tua Tagovailoa. Then Tim, I have Jahmyr Gibbs falling all the way down to you. So in my mock draft, he's yours.
Oh, Tim just got real happy.
Real happy. Then we get to Wayne. So I do agree that Wayne could use a receiver, could use a running back, but also George Kittle is right there. How can you pass him up? But can Wayne pass up Derek Carr? Can he get away from the Saints? I don't know.
Okay. David Carr, you meant.
David Carr, exactly. And that also gives him a stack with Olave and Thomas on his team. So Wayne is a homer, but it also might make sense. If we're talking realistically, I think there's a good chance he takes Derek Carr if he's there. Vince, I have taken George Kittle at that point. He needs a tight end. And then we get to me. So obviously with Taylor being fully out for four games at this week, and we don't know what he's going to do, I have to look at some running backs. I'm going to take Alexander Mattison here. I think he's going to fill in the role for Dalvin Cook very nicely. When Dalvin Cook was hurt a few years ago, Mattison led the league in rushes and rushing yards for those few weeks. So I think he definitely has the talent to do it. And then we move on to Zach. I think he picks up a receiver here with Amari Cooper. And then Jimmy, again, kind of another homer. I think he's going to take George Pickens with his slot. George Pickens is somebody that I do love, Shane, and I would consider picking. But
if he picks George Pickens, he will have no running backs through the first seven rounds. Sorry.
And again, realistically, I understand it, but realistically, I can see these, Wayne picking a quarterback and Jimmy picking a Steeler against the better judgment. And Jimmy, right now, Jimmy has no Steelers on his team, so he's going to be hunting. But I already have Najee, and I really want to try to stay away from having two players on the same team when it comes to running backs, wide receivers, or tight ends to take points away. If one has a good game, the other one might not have a good game. So I want to try to stick away from that, but I do love Pickens. I think he is up for a year. Matt, I agree. I skipped over Pacheco for the reasons stated by Shane, but he does need a running back, Ramondre Stevenson here. Jeff, I think, is going to go with Calvin Ridley. Then Remy, again, he does need a quarterback since he doesn't have one. Again, I don't think Justin Fields, in my opinion, is fantasy worthy. I think he's going to have a solid year. The Bears will be all right, but I don't think he's going to be flying up fantasy points. And how can you pass up Kirk Cousins, who I think is going to have a great year? With Justin Jefferson, obviously, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but they just drafted that wide receiver from USC.
Addison,
yeah. So I think he's going to have a solid year. Mike, I have taken Pacheco, and then Shane. This is going to be a surprise pick from Shane. He's going to go way out there from everything he stands for, what he claims to stand for, and he's going to take Justin Tucker. Kicker from the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
I think right now he's just, been trying to throw us off from his grand scheme of things.
It's my master plan.
Yeah. So I think he's trying to throw us off the scent. He wants Justin Tucker. But in all seriousness, Shane, I see if Kyle Pitts is still there, you would probably take Kyle Pitts as a tight end. If you don't take Tucker, which I think you will, 75% sure, at least 75% sure.
It's going to be tough. If it plays out the way you just said, at that point, I'm going to have a tough decision on my hands.
Yeah. A quick question about the randomization of the draft, Shane. It's completely random, right? It has nothing to do with the fact that you won last year and you were the last pick this year. It's completely 100% Doesn't matter where you finished last year, random.
Yes, but that will change next year because it will be inverse of this year's ending.
Got it.
But yeah, up until this point, it's been all you just hit the button. I do it 10 times. Usually I have Tay do it, but this year I just did it myself. And this is how it ended up.
Okay.
So you hit the random draft order.
One more quick question on that before we move on. I know we're completely off topic when we're talking about this, but how many players will we keep? I know we're keeping the team. How many players of the team will we keep? How many draft slots will be available for each team?
So I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm not sure if we keep every single player on our team and I add, you know, rookie bench spots. And I don't know what the standard for that is, but that's something I'm going to look into. And once I have that set in place, I'll have that information out to everybody in the league.
We'll table the discussion for a further date. Final thing, Shane, did you not have Kittle in your mock draft?
I did.
I missed it then. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't have him drafted. No, I did not. No, only tight end I had mock drafted was Mike, and I had him taking Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I had him picking him back up, even though he was on his team last year. I think he has maybe a little more hope. This is just my thinking of trying to get in Mike's head and where he's coming from. But Kyle Pitts is young. Yeah. He's got a lot of potential. So
again,
and without a quarterback switch, you might see some actual points out of him like you should.
One other thing I noticed while doing the mock draft that I wanted to ask about, how does Wayne only have 5 players?
What do you mean?
He only has 5 players on his team.
No, he has to have 6. I swear I saw a guy
on
6.
On my screen, he has Josh Jacobs, J.K. Dobbins, Chris Olave.
Oh, he does. Sutton,
and Mike Thomas.
Okay. Well, he'll get a 6.
From his team last year, right?
Shane.
Yeah, from his
Shane
team last year, yeah.
Oh, he'll get a 6.
And now I get to pick it.
Yes.
Oh, busted.
Be fair, Kamish. We know how you can be.
Oh, I will. Be fair. I always do. I will.
Wayne fought the law and the law won.
He had some issues figuring out, so I'll send him a text, and if he doesn't respond to me, I'll pick one for him fairly and justly, and then we'll move forward.
Speaking of moving forward. Closing time. Every new beginning
comes from some other beginning's end. Now go on, get! I said get!
Love it.
All right. So the preseason's over. Keepers have been locked, except for one, apparently. And the draft order has been set. Moving on, I'm going to be setting the schedule here over the next 3 days. So you guys will see your new season schedule set up and ready to rock and roll. But until then, do you guys have any final preseason thoughts regarding what we've seen on the field and or what we've seen from our league mates due to the keepers and their decisions that they've made?
For me, the biggest thing I'm watching in the NFL this year is going to be quarterback play. Between last year and this year, there's a lot of quarterback movement, a lot of rookie and second year quarterbacks in a lot of places. I think that's a big thing to watch. We got to watch Russell Wilson. Is he going to bounce back? Aaron Rodgers, is he going to survive in New York? Kenny Pickett, what's his second year going to look like? Matthew Stafford. Is he going to be the Matthew Stafford is old? He's getting older. Jimmy Garoppolo in Las Vegas. San Francisco making a big risk by choosing Brock Purdy as their starter and getting rid of Trey Lance. The list goes on and on for quarterbacks and a lot of moves that are going on. So that's something that I'm interested to see play out over the season. It's just what's going to happen with all these quarterbacks. As far as in our league, I'm excited. I think most people made smart picks for their keepers. There's a couple questionable calls, in my opinion, like keeping a defense. But you never know. That it could work out for him. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Jimmy did decide to keep 2 strong quarterbacks to give him both options there, and his other keepers are solid. So I'm excited. Everyone in our league seems to be focused and locked in. I think we're going to have a competitive year, and I'm excited that this is, our last year going before going into full franchise mode and just having our team set. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm pumped.
Oh yeah. Yeah. As far as the NFL comes, I think one thing, not so much this year, but looking forward, the running back position, what's going to happen with that? Is it going to be completely revolutionized where it's going to be a hybrid receiver running back like we see with some of the teams already? Darren Sproles was the big dude before, you know what I mean? And now we've moved on, and you got guys like Deebo Samuel and with San Francisco. So is the running back position man, I smell that through my computer. Is the running back position doomed, or will we see it completely change? Is that going to be the next big change coming to the NFL? Obviously, again, not this year, but we'll see that in the next decade or so. But with our league, some of the team's keepers, I think for the most part, they were great. Wayne, obviously, I mean, it was just a mistake. I'm sure he didn't realize he only did five. But, I mean, Jimmy's picks right there. I think he has to realize what kind of a league this is and how valuable position players are, and especially we're this deep. You got to keep players that are going to be on the field, that can start on your roster week in and week out, with the exception of a few instances. I just think keeping two quarterbacks and especially the defense. Yeah, it's a great defense, but what if they play high powered offense? You're getting shut down pretty much. So. But let's all stay.
You know, not to interrupt you, Tim, but just, you know, we both brought up Jimmy. I hate to question him though, because he's been competitive every year.
You know what?
He makes decisions every year we all question, and they work out for him. He is always competitive. He hasn't won yet, but you know what? He is always competitive.
Jimmy has won. That's what I was about to point out, was that I'm over here with no plaque on the trophy, and Jimmy has one already. So don't.
Oh yeah, that's
to me,
right.
Jimmy.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, Jimmy has the title for sure.
So some questionable moves, but they're working for him right now
so far. But everyone,
they have in the past.
I think this is a great group that we have moving forward. I feel like I know that the people that were in the league in the past were busy and they couldn't continue on. So, you know. Just glad we're in a position right now where every team looks to be competitive all the way through. Stay focused all the way through. And Matt, let's get a week one win. By the way, congratulations to Matt and Katie on the birth of their third child, Logan Kate. And you know why I sent Matt the let's get a win, Matt? Because he opens up with the commish.
Oh. No, the schedule's not set yet, Tim.
Bull crap. That's what the schedule says right now, so we're rolling with it.
Yeah, that's the, it's the same schedule from last year,
okay,
so remember.
Okay. All right.
He may, though. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Thank you, though. That was I appreciate that that sentiment that you would like him to beat me to start the year off.
Well, obviously, who wouldn't?
Moving on. I think as far as the NFL is concerned, the rookie quarterback play was tremendous. I know that the last like spread for Richardson was like 6 of 17, but actually watching the game, I liked what I saw from him. So I'm excited for this rookie quarterback class. I think this might be the best rookie quarterback class we've had in a while. And even if half of them don't pan out over the course of the actual future, I think this year, speaking directly to this year, I think we're in for some exciting moments, both fantasy-wise and on the field, involving these young guys. I feel bad for Broncos fans. Russell Wilson's just still looks the same as he did last year, and nothing's changed. And I don't know if Sean Payton has enough magic to change him back from a pumpkin. So good luck, Broncos fans. I think you still have a few years before you guys can be happy. In terms of our league, I wasn't really surprised by too many of the choices that people made. Going back to what you guys said, what really stood out was what Jimmy did. But I think maybe he's come to terms with the dynasty and being in a position where he wasn't happy with his team. This is just my thinking, and that maybe he's consigned himself to a place of rebuilding. So he's going to maybe check out what he can do trade-wise with those two great quarterbacks, see which one plays out better, see which one he wants to keep. In my personal opinion, if he's going that route, I'm going to keep Lawrence. He's younger. He has more staying power, I think, because less of his points rely on the ground. So if he was going to go that way, that would be my opinion. But other than that, I'm just happy that everybody seems to be up to snuff, and I'll take a little bit of the credit on Wayne. I reviewed everybody's team, but I obviously wasn't paying enough attention, so I should have called him out on that, or at least give him a heads up before the deadline. So I'll reach out to him tonight and see who he wanted to keep out of the remaining players, and then we'll get that taken care of by tomorrow.
You know, moving into the next segment, I don't want to take anything by chance. You know what? I just wanted to speak to this. I know we're going into segment 5, and part of it is sponsored by Greg's Eggs. And I just want to take a minute to talk about Greg's Eggs. Greg's Eggs is a YouTube channel created by my stepson, soon-to-be adopted son. You know, we're going to go through that process here shortly, sometime after September, after we get back from the cruise. But there's a lot of good content there. You should look up Greg's Eggs on YouTube and check out their content.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
It's the moment we've all been waiting for. Of course, the Trash the Commish segment, as Jay mentioned, brought to you by the Greg's Eggs YouTube channel. Make sure to catch the latest episode of Greg's Eggs. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Jay, do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You know what? I'll go first. I know this is against tradition, but you know what? I honestly want to take this opportunity to really talk about how good the commish has done for us. You know, he's really gotten our league in line. I know, again, this is going to be unpopular, but he's really whipped our league into shape. We've added PPR. We've added the dynasty. Everyone's paying their dues on time. Things are running smooth. So this will be the one and only time, so listen closely, that I compliment the commish. And I'm only doing this because this is still our preseason. Really, no one's listening, so I can say this. The commish has done a great job, and I just want to commend him for that. So for this episode, in this episode only, I will not trash the commish, but I will commend the commish. Good job, commish.
Let's give a toast to that one. That was a good one, because I'm going to let the commish have it here in a minute.
That was a good one. Thank you, Jack.
Cheers.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash
the commish.
Okay, just like last week, we got some listeners sending in their Trash the Commish material. Max from Rage 96.5, I work with Max, actually. He said, I've seen salads dress better than the commish.
Oh, solid.
Malcolm from the Middle says, the commish is the human...
Oh, sorry. I couldn't hold that one together there.
Where's he from, Tim?
He's from the Middle. Malcolm from the Middle says the commish is the human equivalent of a participation trophy. Okay.
Malcolm from the Middle.
What other trophy is more rewarding to him than the fucking the pot kettle black, you ask me?
Oh, that's going in for the nominees, the best trash commission of the year right there.
It was just the name. It was the name, it wasn't even his trash was trash. He said the commish is the human equivalent of a participation trophy. Okay. Okay. All right. Brad Pitt. Okay. Brad Pitt from movies.
Brad Pitt from movies. No. He's just from movies.
I can't freaking read it. Oh my god. Okay, okay.
Piece of white trash. It's time to trash the
commission. Okay, okay. Okay. All right. Brad Pitt. All right. Brad Pitt from movies. He says, oh my god, this is a good one too. I can't say it. I'm literally crying right now. I'm laughing so hard. Okay, Brad Pitt from movies. I can see myself in the reflection in the top of your head, and you make me look ugly. Oh god, okay. Mike from up the road says, you do a great job fixing your hair every day. The word hair in the last sentence is singular. And last one right here, Green Bastard from Parts Unknown. You're about as useless as the letters UE, UE in the word Q.
Piece of white trash. It's time to trash the committee.
All right, that goes down in the podcast Hall of Fame right there. That was the best trash the commish segment we'll probably ever have. It started off with a
curveball, Jay coming out of nowhere and complimenting the hell out of the commish.
Oh man, Malcolm in the middle and Brad Pitt from the movies.
Malcolm from the middle.
Got Warner guy, dude.
What'd you say, Shane?
Got Warner guy, man.
It was Malcolm from the middle
and Brad Pitt from movies.
From the middle. God damn it.
Oh my god, I'm lightheaded from laughing so hard. Okay.
Oh man.
Okay. Woo. Okay.
Right. Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
But as always, we let the commish have it for a few minutes, and then he gets his chance for rebuttal. So go ahead, commish. What you got? Let us have it.
First of all, Jason, you're the co-commish. That doesn't mean you get to sling blame. That means you get half the blame, all right?
That means I clean up your messes is what it means.
Oh, is that what that means? So I'm supposed to thank you for doing your job for catching one mistake?
Yeah.
One mistake?
Yeah, actually, you should.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And everybody else was full of shit. Except for Miss Nichols, but I'm not going
to
bring
her in. Yeah, you did some bad things to her, commish. But she probably did deserve it.
She made me sit right next to her, not because I was bad, because she loved me.
Maybe she got some inches from the commish.
Oh, man.
The 11th inch made him quiver.
Okay.
You know, I did say this. I brought this up. We do like to rag on the commish and trash the commish, but he has done an excellent job of wrangling this rag team of misfits together and putting us on a single path and getting us moving. And the league is better for it. I'll never say it again. Don't expect it. Don't listen for it. You won't hear it again.
And along those lines, there's only one person I have to call out, and that's Wayne. Pay me my Wayne. Money.
Well, wait, okay. So wait. Before we started the show today, there was two people on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Are we down to one?
Yes.
Okay.
We had movement on the other player. Movement.
I'm glad to see it.
Yeah. Myself as well.
Speaking of movement.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the committee.
Sorry. I saw the perfect opportunity for it, so I went with it. You got any more rebuttal, Shane? Anyone else you want to throw under the bus?
Nope, that's it. Everybody's doing pretty good right now.
I like it. Prime League Podcast, we are live Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Live at 8:08. We will have the stream link attached to this episode in wherever you listen to your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, we're on iHeartRadio also. Yes, we are on all the major platforms, so go ahead Search for the Prime League podcast. Hit the subscribe button. Weekly episodes dropping Thursday afternoon at 12 o'clock. You can get in contact with the show. Just email primeleaguepodcast@gmail.com. You can also shoot us a text message. Text the commish. Text Jay. Text myself individually. You all have our numbers in the group message, so go ahead and send us your best trash the commish material. Again, text either one of us. Email the show. And coming up next Wednesday when we are live, we will have that show promoted. You can listen live. Again, the link will be on all the podcast, on the episode, on all the podcasts. So you can just click the link Wednesday nights at 7:30. Catch us live. And guys, it's great. We got the draft coming up, the fantasy football draft this Sunday, Shane.
Correct. 6:15 p.m. And you and I will be there.
Oh, almost forgot. A good thing I'm cracking a beer for this one, Shane. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we're going to get started about 15 minutes early. We'll be on the live stream. We'll be doing the live broadcast while we do the draft. We'll be analyzing everybody's terrible picks and praising our own great ones. And then once the draft is done, we'll sign off and we'll see you Wednesday.
When does the schedule get set?
The schedule will be set by Friday at the latest.
Okay. Okay, cool. Cool.
So deadline of 8 p.m. on Friday, but I'm going to try to get it done a little bit earlier.
Jason, great to have you on again, of course. Co-commish, owner of the Member Berries, and just a great overall pal.
Pal friend. I love it here. Love it here. Love you guys. Mm-hmm. It's a great podcast. Solid.
Okay, remember, yeah, Wednesday night, 7:30. We are live at 808, on live at 808. Make sure to check out the weekly episodes dropped on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcast, Thursdays at noon. Prime League Podcast. My pages out, my favorite notebooks, microphones in the closet.